Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord's Day, that we can come together and celebrate the resurrection of our wonderful Savior Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to talk about some different things, and we pray, God, that you would lead us, guide us, and direct us in what we say, what we do. We pray, Father, for all the activities of this day, for the worship service after this, for our meal and a praise time. And God, you just have been so good to us that we have so many things to give you honor and glory and praise for. And we, again, thank you for that. We ask, God, for you to just lead us now in our Sunday school time, and that, again, Jesus would receive the glory and the honor, and help us, Lord, to learn what you'd have us to learn today. For we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn over to the book of Acts. And we're going to do something a little different this morning. Obviously, we're not going to be in Romans, so you know that it's going to be different. And I think we want chapter 20. I could be wrong about that. Yeah, chapter 20, and verse, we're going to start reading at verse number 17. And so what we want to talk about this morning is talking about the idea of choosing the new pastor. We want to talk about, sort of give you an idea of what we have been doing as the pulpit committee. Talk about those kinds of things. And as we think about those kinds of things, if you have any questions you'd like to ask as we go by, as we go along, I might be able to answer them. I might not be able to answer them, but you go ahead and feel free to ask. And probably, I don't need to say this, but I'll say it anyhow, that the decision for a new pastor for the Wheatland Baptist Church is obviously a big decision to make. And for several different reasons. One is that many times the church is associated with the person that you're talking about. Sometimes you have probably heard in the past, where do you go to church? And you say, well, I go to church to Wheatland Baptist Church. And people will make this statement, oh, you go to Terry Post Church, right? And so you get that idea of the face of the church is sort of the face of the pastor. And you hear people say, well, I'm not going to go there because I don't like him. I'm going to go there because I do like him. You know, those kinds of things. And so you get that kind of a response many times, especially, you usually don't get those when you're talking about a church of, 10,000 people. But, a church this size, the personality of the pastor has a, or the pastor has a big play in that. The other reason it's really important is the fact that it's a big deal to drag some person from another part of the United States to come to to come to McPherson. You're sort of when you think about it, you say to yourself, "Wow, it's we're having a new pastor," without thinking about the fact that this person, who wherever he's coming from, he is uprooting his life from there and coming to coming to here with basically knows no one or no thing, and comes and begins the ministry of being the pastor there. The other reason it's really important is because the person that you choose is going to have an influence on the way you live your life. You're going to listen to what he has to say. You're going to think about his interpretation of the Word of God. You're going to listen to his applications of the Scripture, and he's going to influence you. He's going to influence your family, hopefully in a positive way for the things of God. But you know, choosing that, and you're really asking somebody to come and be the under shepherd of the church. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is obviously the shepherd, but the person who's the pastor is the under shepherd of the church. So it's really a big deal to do that, to choose somebody. And so I want to spend some time talking about how we have worked on that. Now, before we do that, I want us to recognize that there are three different words in the New Testament that are used for somebody who is the pastor of a church. If you notice in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus," talking about Paul, "and he called the elders of the church." And so one of the ideas, or one of the names that is referred to as a pastor, and these are sort of used interchangeably with the other two words, the elders really talking more about the person than talking about the office. If you were in prayer meeting a month or so ago, Pastor Post said, "Well, today's my birthday, and today I am joining the elderly." Okay, so usually when you think of an elder, you think of somebody who is
older,
right? You think of somebody who has maturity. You think of somebody who has lived a period of time. You think of somebody who has wisdom. You think of somebody who has life experience. You think of somebody who has walked with God for a good period of time, and so therefore has Bible understanding, has life understanding, and those kinds of things. And so the person who is recognized in the church as somebody who is that way would be referred to as an elder. Excuse me. And we're not going to go down through all the things that the Apostle Paul says to the elder, but I just wanted to point out that word. And now I want you to look over at verse 28, where we see the other two words that are used for somebody who's the pastor of a church. It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourself and to the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you oversee it, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Okay, two different words that are used here. One is that he is unto the flock of God, which he hath made you the overseer. Overseer is the word that we get for bishop. Okay, somebody who is the bishop. Now, if you came from a Roman Catholic background, the bishop word there is used for sort of the hierarchy of people in the church, the group, and they call, you know, people up here a bishop, and somebody who is down here is a priest, and somebody who's an archbishop is better than a bishop, and all of those kinds of things. That's not what he's talking about here at all. The word bishop has the idea of somebody who is the overseer of the congregation, somebody who keeps an eye on what's going on, somebody who gives direction, somebody who sets the direction for the church, seeks to lead people in those kinds of things. And so he uses that word as the overseer here. And notice he says, "Take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Okay, so he's speaking to the elders there and said, you know, here's your responsibility. Your responsibility is somebody who is an overseer of the flock. And then he said, "To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." So the third word that is used is the idea of shepherd, the idea of somebody who is the feeder of the flock, the idea of somebody who is a teacher of the word of God. And so the idea of feeding is not the idea that he's the one that cooks all the food at the fellowship meals. Okay, that's not the idea. The idea is somebody who prepares shares, messages from the Word of God, shares those, encourages people in those different things. And so he uses those three different words, but the three different words are used about the same person, the person who is the pastor of the church. So you have an elder, somebody who has experience, somebody who has some years under their belt, somebody who has life experience kinds of things. You have the overseer, somebody who is sort of the one to give direction. And this overseer is interesting because if you turn over to the book of Hebrews, there's a couple of interesting verses in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, in regard to being an overseer and responsibilities for looking over or looking out for the flock of God's church. It says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, it says, "Remember them who have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their manner of life." Okay, so the idea is to look at them, remember who they are. They have a rule over you. And then if you look at verse 17, it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, that as they that must give an account, and that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And again, I don't know how this whole works out in the whole scheme of God's Bema Seat judgment and those kinds of things. And if God has pastors that come and say, "Well, was this person part of your congregation?" And you say, "Yes," because I'm assuming then we'll have total memory or perfect recall of our memory, because from time to time, my wife and I talk about somebody who was in our church years gone by, and we say, "Oh yeah, I didn't remember them." Okay, so we're assuming that God's going to give total recall in those kinds of things, to give an account of how they lived their life, how they served, those kind of things. And I don't know how all that works out, but there's obviously a time to do these kinds of things, because they're going to give this account either with joy or grief. The joy would be it's great in their service for God. Grief would be, well, they said that they were saved, but I'm not sure, kind of thing. And so, when you look at the whole thing, the responsibility. One more passage. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we see these same words used again in a little bit different way. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're actually going to look at 1 Peter chapter 5. In the message this morning, but we're going to look at it in a different verse in this passage. But in verse number 1 of chapter 5, it says, "The elders who are among you I exhort." Okay, so Peter says, I'm exhorting the elders who are among you. I'm also an elder. He said, "I'm also, somebody who has, walked with God, served God, been involved in the things of God for a period of time." He says, "Also a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And then notice what he says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you." Okay, you as the elder, here's your responsibility, feeding the flock of God in the spiritual ways. Taking the oversight, okay? So you see the idea of, talking to the elders. This is the person. Here's what they're doing. They're feeding the flock of God. And then he says, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And I think it's really interesting that it says this, the wording here. He says, feed the flock of God, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly. Now, if you remember, you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and it says there, talking about somebody who is a bishop, an overseer there, it says somebody who desires the office of a bishop. And so it's, I believe it's something that God puts into the heart of a man to have a desire to lead the flock of God, to feed the flock of God, to care for the flock of God. That's a calling on a person's life to do that. And so whenever you see this in the scripture, here's sort of a you know, a picture of that. Okay, so questions, thoughts, comments up until this point in time. I'm gonna shift gears right now. So, anyone with a thought, comment on regard to that? Yes, sir. Good testimony. I went through the same kind of thing, because when we went to Bible college, you know, we just wanted to go and learn the Bible so we could serve the Lord somehow, but however that was going to be. And the best advice I got was from the lady who was the cook. The married students used to go down to the cafeteria and hang out and drink coffee whenever we had a break. And the cook and some other people were standing around there talking, and she said, she asked me, I was about, probably in my senior year, I would imagine. And she said, "Joe, what are you going to do? What are you going to do after you graduate?" I said, "Well, I think I'm going to look for a church to be the pastor." And she said, "This is what you need to do." Okay, the cook, not the head of theology or the president of the school or anything like that. The cook said, "You need to find a little group of people and grow up with them." And first of all, I thought I was already grown up whenever she said that, but apparently I wasn't. And that's what we did. We had ended up with a little group of people that we started out with, and we all grew up together, and it was a wonderful experience. But just get input from different places. Anyone else? Thought, comment on that? Okay, so what I'd like to do now is I'd like to just sort of give you a little bit of a rundown, paint a picture, I guess, if you would, of what we've been doing as the pulpit committee. Okay, so how have we done what we have done up until this point in time? Well, first couple months that we were here, it was basically switching stuff from Pastor Terry to me. And then I think it was in like October, maybe November, somewhere around there, I don't have the exact date, that we started meeting as the pulpit committee. And the first thing we did, our very first meeting was, I said, you know, we need to have some things that whenever we start getting input from people, resumes, those kinds of things, I said, we need to have a list of things that are non-negotiable. That if we see this on their resume, then, you know, we're not going to bother looking at them from that point forward. And so we came up with a list. A couple of things that were on the list were stuff like King James only. If they were a King James only person, we weren't interested in them. If they believed in covenant theology or Reformed theology, we weren't interested in them. If they were convinced that closed communion was the way to do things, we weren't interested in them. And so we just came up with this list of things. And if you're not sure what any of those things are, say something to me afterwards. I will explain it to you. But I don't want to take the time to do it right now. And so we came up with this list of things, and then we began to put together documents. We needed three different documents for sure. The first one was a profile of the church. Okay, so if somebody was interested, we needed to have something to send to them to say, this is what Wheatland Baptist Church is. You know, this is where we stand on music, and this is where we are on translations, and this is where we are in, all those kinds of, different things, because we are going to send them not only this, this statement or this profile, but we are also going to send them a doctrinal statement. So the doctrinal statement would tell tell them where we were doctrinally, but, you know, we also told them about, you know, the history of the church, and we gave them an idea of the size of the church, and we gave them a picture of the area. We gave them something about the building, and, you know, just sort of so that they could look at the thing and say, you know, just get a picture of what Wheatland Baptist Church is. And I don't think we said anything in there that it never rains in Kansas, but we may have said that too. But we sent this whenever we had somebody that we were interested in, or we have looked at their profile, or I mean their resume, and we thought somebody was would be interesting to talk to. We were going to send them this piece of paper along with a doctrinal statement. The second thing that we had to come up with is that we were going to put the church on several different websites. We're going to pick out the colleges, mission boards, stuff that would be, you know, appropriate along with our doctrinal statement, our positional statement, those kinds of things. And so we had to find, write a paragraph of, explaining sort of who we are without making a big, long, detailed kind of things, you know, just sort of a little glimpse. So we put that thing together. And then once we had those two things together, then we went to different colleges that we had believed that would be have men who would be similar to where we are. We went to the GFA website. We went to Appalachian Bible College, Faith in Ankeny, Maranatha in Wisconsin, and we were considering one in Texas, but we never got around to that one. And so what we did was we hooked up with them. We put our little paragraph on there with some other details, whatever they ask us about, with the idea of them, you know, people looking at those websites and getting in touch with us. And also at that point in time, we had some names of people that, they said, somebody said, well, you know, did you ever think of this person? Did you ever think of that person? Did you talk to that person? And so we had a number of folks that we heard about, and so we contacted all of the ones that that we had some kind of a name about, and we talked to all of them, and they were either interested or not interested, you know, whatever it was, because sometimes somebody thinks you're interested and you're not really interested, you know, that kind of thing. So we went through all of that, contacted all of those people. Then after we did that, then the big job came, and this big job came, the big job was putting together a questionnaire, okay? So we're going to ask, you know, a person questions about, you know, about all kinds of things. We're going to ask questions about versions, and we're going to ask questions about music, and we're going to ask questions about the family. We're going to ask questions about your experience. And I'm not going to tell you all of those things, because next Sunday night, whenever we give out the information on the fellow who's coming to be the candidate, then we're going to give you a list of the questions, and we'll give you the list of the answers. Okay. Now let me just throw this out here for you. We're going to give you a list of the questions, and we're going to give you a list of the answers. Okay. Let me say that one more time. I'm going to give you a list of the questions, and we're going to give you a list of the answers. Now, our expectation is that you're going to do what? Fold it up and stick it in your suit pocket so you'll have it. Stick it inside of your Bible. Our expectation is you're going to do what? You're going to read it, okay? Okay. Not necessarily agree with it, but you're going to read through it, okay? Because then we're going to have a question and answer time on the second Sunday, and at the question and answer time, you are not allowed to ask any of the questions that are on that paper. Why? What'd you say, John? What did you say, John? I didn't hear you. It's already been done, okay? So, but if you have never read the the paper with all the answers on it, then you're not going to know what? what questions have been asked. You're going to not know what questions have been given, okay? And so I'm just, just throwing that out to you now. We're going to go over that again next Sunday night. And so we came up with this list of questions that we thought were very important to ask a candidate who was thinking about coming. And so we sent the list of questions off, and the list of questions came back with answers. Okay, so obviously whenever you ask a bunch of questions and you get answers back, some of the questions aren't really good questions because you should have worded them in a little bit different way. Some of the answers maybe not quite what you were expecting. And so then what we did was, after we got the questions back, then we generated another list of questions that we got from the first group of questions. How many of you with us so far? Okay, one group of questions we sent off, came back, and we then generated some more questions. And so this time, instead of having him having the gentleman ask about the questions, we had a Zoom meeting on him, and we talked to him for 2 hours, asking questions, getting responses. And we got to the end of the 2 hours. He had to go to work, and Jeffrey and Tracy and I, we had enough, so we were ready to quit. And so a few days later, we had another Zoom call to finish up the questions that we had, and we talked for another 2 hours about all of these different things. And so we answered all the questions. I thought answered the questions very suitably and very fine. And so that's that was where we were at the end of that. After we get done asking all those questions, then we ask him if it would be okay to, one, do a financial background check, two, to do a criminal background check. And he said both of those were fine. In fact, he was going to do the financial one himself, and he's going to bring that with him when he comes. The other one, the one about the criminal one, we did. Everything came back fine on that. So then we started calling references, okay? Now, how many of you have ever put references on an application that you're applying for a job, okay? Did you ever put anybody down there who was going to say anything bad about you? No, you don't do that, okay? So what we did was and it's interesting that I'll explain this more the next Sunday night whenever we get together and talk a little bit more about this whole thing. But we went through all the references. The references came back, very positive about things, and we had a pretty extensive list of questions that we asked each one of the references. And so we went down through that whole list, and so that was positive. And so and through this all, we've been praying about it. You guys have been praying about it, and we believe that the man that we're talking about is would be a good fit to be the pastor at Wheatland Baptist Church. Myself and Jeffrey and Tracy believe that. And so what were we investigating? We sort of had an idea in mind of what we were investigating. What were we looking into this person to find out, okay? First one, obviously, is, what they believe, their doctrine, okay? And so what we did was we gave them the doctrinal statement of Wheatland Baptist Church, and we asked, do you have any trouble with this? Is there any issues with this? Do you believe all of the things that were that are listed on this doctrinal statement? And there wasn't any kind of an issue at all, because it's a pretty standard independent Baptist church doctrinal statement that somebody who's an independent Baptist would probably go along with without any problem. And so there wasn't any issue there. Now, realize that whenever you ask somebody about what they believe, they're not going to tell you everything that they believe, but we wanted to make sure that the main things, okay, and the main things were the things that we have listed on our doctrinal statement, okay? So we didn't ask him whether he was a dichotomist or a trichotomist. We didn't ask him if he believed in the peccability or the impeccability of Christ. We didn't ask him questions like that. Okay, we ask him questions that dealt with the main kinds of things. And if you have another question, whenever he comes, you can ask him that question. So the first thing we wanted to know was about what you believe. The second thing we wanted to find out was about character. Now we were looking at character qualities. Turn over if you would to 1 Timothy, and again, this is pretty hard to grasp. If you don't know a person, you're really relying on somebody else to give you the answers to these questions. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says, and also it's listed in Titus also, it says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must be, and then he goes down through the list here. He says, blameless, husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he care for the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are on the outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And so, those are the kind of character quality things that that we're looking into, that we ask references of, and some of the things you can grasp by talking to a person. Not necessarily the depth of everything, but you get an idea whenever you talk to people. And again, character is one of the things that as they would come, that we would look for, that we would we would check out, we would see. And so we looked at doctrine, character. The third one was family. And I'm not going to go into what the family situation is, because we'll do that next Sunday night. But just thinking about interesting in this passage of scripture that he uses a couple of verses that talks about ruling his own home. Okay. And so, what are the results of ruling his own home? And so those kind of things we ask some questions about. The next thing we ask about is experience. What have they done in the past? How have they handled situations in the past? What kind of things have you been involved in? And again, we'll talk about that more, give you some more details on that. But that was another thing. The next thing is, do you have the ability to be a pastor? Listen to him preach. Talk to him. Watch how he handles, how he interacts with people. Again, talk to people who have been experienced or been part of his church in the past, and so we get some ideas along those lines. Does he seem to have a mastery of the Bible? Not does he know everything about the Bible, but does he have a general picture, an overall sense of the scriptures? Those kinds of things. Now, realize, if you would, when you're talking about being the ability to be a pastor, that everyone at Wheatland Baptist Church is not going to get their ideal pastor. Let me run that by you again. Everyone at Wheatland Baptist Church is not going to get their ideal pastor. Why? Well, Pastor Terry retired, so he's not doing this anymore. So the ideal is off the scene. So we'll have to settle for second best, right? Because people say, well, the kind of pastor I want is da da da. Okay, and if you're with da da da, then you're okay too with him. But somebody else says, well, the kind of pastor I want is ba ba ba. Okay, so you have da 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 and ba ba ba. And then you have some other person is looking for this pastor over here, and you realize that it's an interesting dynamic that you know that takes place when you're thinking about those kind of things, because you know, personality comes into to play. You think about you know, handling situations comes into play. A lot of different things come into play, and so if everybody got what they wanted as far as the new pastor, then you'd probably need at least a half a dozen, maybe more. Okay, and you know, one is probably all you can afford, would be my guess, right? The next thing we were looking at was we were also looking at personality, okay? And your personality comes out in your preaching. Your personality comes out in the way you handle situations. Your personality comes out in the way you lead meetings. Your personality comes out in the way you teach. Your personality is, you know, it's you. It's with you. You know, you can't usually do anything about it unless you work on making some changes. And so, whenever they come, these are the kind of things that you need to check out. You need to check out, you know, character kind of things. You need to check out ability to pastor kind of things. You need to check out personality kinds of things, and you know, invest yourself into you know, to getting to know the person who is coming. So those are the kind of things that we were looking into, that we were investigating, because they were going to have an impact into the person who's going to be the new pastor at Wheatland Baptist Church. Okay, any questions about that?
Did you get a compiled list of his questions and answer, and your answers back to him?
No. The questions that came from him were all verbal questions. There was never a written list. If there would have been a written list, we would have kept a copy of that, but there was never. It was all more, you know, as we would go along and talk about something, there would be a response back in the conversation. Okay, anybody else? Okay, now, I want you to put your... I want you to put your imagination on full tilt here, okay? Ready? How many of you brought your imagination with you today? Carry with you all the time? Okay, now imagine you are the person coming here to candidate at Wheatland Baptist Church. Okay, everybody, we're on the same page? Whether you're a boy or girl, it doesn't make any difference. You're coming to candidate to decide, because there's two sides of the decision, right? It's not just the church deciding that we want the guy, but it's also the guy deciding that he wants the church, the guy and his wife, you know, obviously, I'm speaking together. So you're coming to Wheatland Baptist Church. What are you looking for? Yes, sir. Absolutely, right.
Work together.
Good. Okay, good answer to the wrong question. Yes, John, go ahead. Okay, are there any schisms, splits, divisions, that kind of thing? How would you go about finding that out?
No,
Okay, see what the response is, good.
And then I suppose, other than that, you'd have to come there and a couple of times and see what you see.
Okay. Good.
I would like to know if there has ever been church discipline done in the church.
Okay, that's a good one. Yeah, go ahead.
It is hard serving for the Lord than it is the congregation of the church. If it's hard serving the Lord being a pastor, I also do recognize the Holy Spirit speaking to the pastor when he's preaching, whatever cross laying his heart to preach during the service in the church.
Okay. Good. Anyone else? You're coming to be the new pastor or the candidating pastor. What are you looking for? I made a list. We got go ahead, John.
I assume you're not asking the same things that you have asked the pastor. Like the pastor already knows your biblical stand and all that. You're not talking about that. Right?
Correct. Correct. We're not talking about that. He knows where we stand. We know where he stands. We're not talking about that. Yes, sir.
I want to know if the church serves coffee or not. I got up there with names we have.
And how strong.
So whenever we were leaving Connecticut, we had a question and answer thing for the guy who was coming in to take my place. And the first question that was asked, a guy who, whenever we came to the church, he was in elementary school, so you know how long ago it was. He's now a man about in his 40s someplace. Well, probably closer to 50, isn't he? Well, it doesn't matter how old he is. Anyhow, he raised his hand. He said, well, we get this thing off on the right foot. He said, do you drink Starbucks or you drink Dunkin' Donuts? Which kind of coffee do you drink? And so the wife drank Starbucks, the husband drank Dunkin' Donuts. So, you know, they did that. Okay, so here's some of the things that I wrote down. And
I've got one question here. If I were coming here, I would want to know, and this is not near as in-depth and deep as what Pastor Terry had to say, but I would want to know if the people of this church view this church as God's church and not someone else's church. I would want to know that. To go along with what Walt was saying,
yep.
Are they going to be jumping in and helping in pursuing this, all of the aspects that God would expect, would want, as we could see, of his church?
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one, Royce. I like that. here's the things I wrote down that I... Well, when I go someplace, this is the stuff that I look for. Do people bring their Bibles to church? Do people leave right away after church? Because that gives you a feel for what? You know, is there community? Do these people like hanging out together? How do they dress? And again, I'm not talking whether, you know, the ladies wear dresses or don't wear dresses, the men wear ties or they don't wear ties. I'm talking about, you know, do they dress in a modest, conservative kind of way that is appropriate for that? Because we have been in some places that, do people laugh and enjoy being at church? Now, I'm not talking about during the service, does somebody sit there and laugh the whole time? I'm not saying that. But, you know, like whenever you get together afterwards or before church, you know, is there laughing? Is there enjoyment with being together? do people attend prayer meeting on Wednesday night? how do the kids behave themselves? That's a big one. How do the kids behave themselves? Are they running all over the place and knocking people down and up on the, you know, up on the front where they're not supposed to be? Again, that's my opinion. you know, how they behave themselves. is the church set up to meet the needs of new families that would show up? Is there, you know, are there things for, you know, to for a new family, whether they be old people or young people or whatever they are? Are there things set up so that they could feel like they're fitting in? do you see love demonstrated between the believers? What's the personality of the church? Is it rigid or is it really loose? You know, how does that fit in? Because every church has a personality. So anyhow, I'm not going to ask you if there's any more questions because it's time to be quit. And I heard the preacher today wants to start on time. So I hope this has helped you to see what we have done and to sort of make us think about what's going to take place in the next few weeks. So let's just keep praying for the Lord's guidance and direction each step of the way. Our God, we are so pleased to be your children and love you and praise you and glorify you. And we ask, Father, that as we seek the new pastor for Wheatland Baptist Church, that you would just have your hand all over all the things that transpire. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.